Welcome to day 234 of my Everyday Bible with Rita Langland. Today we are going to be reading from Jeremiah chapters 46, 47, and 48 from the Amplified Bible. So beginning at the first verse of Jeremiah chapter 46. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet concerning and against the Gentile nations, concerning and against Egypt, against the army of Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, which was by the river Euphrates at Carchemish, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, smote and defeated in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. Put in order the buckler and shield, and advance for battle. Harness the horses, and mount, you horsemen. Stand forth with your helmets, polish the spears, put on the coats of mail. Why have I seen it? They are dismayed and have turned backward, and their mighty warriors are beaten down. They flee in haste and look not back. Terror is on every side, says the Lord. Let not the swift flee, nor the mighty men escape. In the north, by the river Euphrates, they stumble and fall. Who is this that rises up like the Nile River, like the branches of the Nile in the delta of Egypt, whose waters surge and toss? Egypt rises like the Nile, like the rivers whose waters surge and toss. She says, I will rise, I will cover the earth, I will destroy cities and their inhabitants. Go up, you horses, and drive furiously, you chariots. Let the warriors go forth, men of Ethiopia and Put, who handle the shield, men of Lud, who are skilled in handling and stringing the bow. But that day is a day of the Lord of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge himself on his adversaries. And the sword shall devour, and it shall be satiated, and shall drink its fill of their blood. For the Lord of hosts, has a sacrifice, like that of a great sin offering, in the north country by the river Euphrates. Go up into Gilead and take healing balm, O virgin daughter of Egypt. In vain do you use many medicines. For you there is no healing or remedy. The nations have heard of your disgrace and shame, and your cry has filled the earth. For warrior has stumbled against and thrown down warrior, and they have fallen, both of them together. The word that the Lord spoke to Jeremiah the prophet concerning the coming of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and his smiting of the land of Egypt. Declare in Egypt and proclaim in Migdol and publish in Memphis and in Tapanhes. Say, stand forth and get yourself ready, for the sword devours round about you. Why is your strong one, the sacred bull god, Apis, swept and dragged away? He stood not, because the Lord drove him and thrust him down. The Lord made many to stumble and fall. Yes, they fell one upon another. And they said, arise, and let us go back to our own people and to the land of our birth, away from the sword of the oppressor. They cried there, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is destroyed and is only a noise. He has left the appointed time in which God had him on probation pass by. As I live, says the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts, surely like Tabor among the mountains and like Carmel by the sea, so shall he, the king of Babylon, standing out above other rulers, come. O you daughter who dwells in Egypt, and you who dwell with her, furnish yourselves with all you will need to go into exile, for Memphis will be waste, desolate and burned up, without inhabitant. Egypt is a very fair heifer, like Apis the bull god, to which the country is, so to speak, espoused. But destruction, a gadfly, is coming. Out of the north it is coming against her. Also, her hired troops in the midst of her are like fatted calves in the stall. for they also are turned back and are fleeing together. They do not stand, because the day of their calamity is coming upon them, the time of their visitation, their inspection, and punishment. The sound of Egypt fleeing from the enemy is like the rustling of an escaping serpent, for her foes advance with a mighty army and come against her with axes, like those who fell trees and cut wood. They shall cut down her forests, says the Lord, though it is impenetrable, because they, the invading army, are more numerous than locusts and cannot be counted. The daughter of Egypt shall be disgraced. She shall be delivered into the hands of the people of the north, the Chaldeans. The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, says, behold, I will visit punishment upon Amon, the chief god of the sacred city, the capital of Upper Egypt, of No or Thebes, and upon Pharaoh and Egypt, with her gods and her kings, even Pharaoh and all those Jews and others who put their trust in Pharaoh as a support against Babylon. And I will deliver them into the hands of those who seek their lives, and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hands of his servants. Afterward, Egypt will be inhabited as in the days of old, says the Lord. But fear not, O my servant Jacob, and be not dismayed, O Israel. For behold, I will save you from afar, and your offspring from the land of their exile. And Jacob will return and be quiet and at ease, and none will make him afraid. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, says the Lord, for I am with you. For I will make a full and complete end of all the nations to which I have driven you, yet I will not make a full end of you. But I will chasten and correct you in just measure, and I will not hold you guiltless by any means or leave you unpunished. Chapter 47. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah the prophet concerning the Philistines before Pharaoh smote the Philistine city Gaza. Thus says the Lord, behold, waters are rising out of the north and shall become an overflowing stream and shall overflow the land and all that is in it, the city and those who dwell in it. Then the men shall cry and all the inhabitants of the land of Philistia shall wail. At the noise of the stamping of the hoofs of the Chaldean king's war horses, at the rattling of his chariots, and at the rumbling of his wheels, the fathers do not look back to their children, so feeble are their hands with terror. Because of the day that is coming to destroy all the Philistines and to cut off from Tyre and Sidon every helper who remains. For the Lord is destroying the Philistines, the remnant still surviving of the isle or coastland of Kaphtor, where the Philistines originated. Baldness as a token of mourning will come upon Gaza. Ashkelon will be cut off and be dumb. O remnant of their valley and of the giants, how long will you gash yourselves as a token of mourning? O you sword of the Lord, how long will it be before you are quiet? Put yourself into your scabbard, rest, and be still. How can it, the sword of the Lord, be quiet when the Lord has given it an assignment to discharge? Against Ashkelon and against the whole Philistine seashore, he has appointed it. Chapter 48. Concerning Moab, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, woe to the city of Nebo, for it is laid waste. Kiriathaim is put to shame and taken. Misgab, the high fortress, is put to shame, broken down and crushed. The glory of Moab is no more. In Heshbon, a border town between Reuben and Gad, east of the Jordan River, they planned evil against her, saying, come, Let us cut her off from being a nation. You also, O town of madmen, shall be brought to silence. The sword shall pursue you. The sound of a cry from Horonaim, a cry of desolation and great destruction. Moab is destroyed. Her little ones have caused a cry to be heard as far as Zoar. For the ascent of Luhith will be climbed by successive bands of fugitives with continual weeping. For on the descent of Horonaim, they have heard the distress of the cry of destruction. Flee, save your lives, but they shall be like a destitute and forsaken person in the wilderness. For because you have trusted in your works, your bungling idol images, and in your treasures, instead of in God, you shall also be taken. And Chemosh, your God, shall go into captivity, his priests and his princes together. And the destroyer shall come upon every city. No city shall escape. The Jordan Valley also shall perish, and the plain shall be devastated, as the Lord has said. Give wings to Moab, for by that means only she will flee and get away. Her cities will be desolate without any to dwell in them. Cursed be he who does the work of the Lord negligently, with slackness, deceitfully. And cursed be he who keeps back his sword from blood in executing judgment pronounced by the Lord. Moab has been at ease from his youth, and he has settled on his lees like wine, and has not been drawn off from one vessel to another, neither has he gone into exile. Therefore, his taste remains in him, and his scent has not changed. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I shall send to Moab tilters who shall tilt him up, and shall empty his vessels and break his bottles, earthenware, in pieces. And Moab shall be ashamed of Chemosh, his god, as the house of Israel was ashamed of Bethel, their confidence. How can you say, we are heroes and mighty men in the war? Moab has been made desolate, and his cities have gone up in smoke and flame, and his chosen young men have gone down to the slaughter, says the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts. The destruction of Moab is coming near, and his calamity hastens swiftly. Bemoan him, all you nations who are around him, and all you nations more remote who know his name. Say, how broken is the mighty scepter of national power and the splendid rod of glory. Come down from your glory, you inhabitant of the daughter of Dibon, and sit on the ground among the thirsty. For the destroyer of Moab is advancing against you. He will destroy your strongholds. O inhabitant of Aroer, stand by the way and watch. Ask him who flees and her who escapes, what has happened? Moab is put to shame, for she is broken down. Wail and cry out. Tell by the banks of the Arnon that Moab is laid waste, destroyed. Judgment has come upon the land of the plain, upon Holon and Jazah and Mephath, and upon Dibon and Nebo and Beth Diblathaim, and upon Kiriathaim and Beth Gamul and Beth Meon, and upon Kerioth and Bozra, and all the cities of the land of Moab, far and near. The horn strength of Moab is cut off, and his arm of authority is shattered, says the Lord. Make him drunk, for he has magnified himself against the Lord by resisting Reuben's occupation of the land the Lord had assigned him. Moab also shall splash in his vomit, and he too shall be held in derision. For was not Israel an object of derision to you? Was he found among thieves? Since whenever you speak of him, you wag your head in scorn. O you inhabitants of Moab, Leave the cities and dwell among the rocks, and be like the dove that makes her nest in the walls of the yawning ravine. We have heard of the giddy pride of Moab, the extremely proud one, his loftiness, his arrogance, his conceit, and the haughtiness of his heart. I know his insolent wrath, says the Lord, and the nothingness of his boastings and his deeds. They are false and have accomplished nothing. Therefore, I will wail over Moab, and I will cry out over the whole of Moab, over the men of Kir Hareseth. There will be sighing and mourning. O vines of Sibmah, I weep for you more than the weeping of Jazer over its ruins and wasted vineyards. Your tendrils of influence have gone over the sea, reaching even to Jazer. The destroyer has fallen upon your summer fruit harvest and your season's crop of grapes. Joy and gladness are taken away from the fruitful orchards and fields and from the land of Moab. And I have made the juice of the grape to fail from what is pressed out in the vats. No one treads the grapes with shouting. Their shouting is no shouting of joy, but it is a battle cry. From the cry of Heshbon, even to Elealeh, even to Jahaz, they have uttered their voice. From Zoar, even to Horonaim and Egloth Shelishia, like a three-year-old heifer, for even the waters of Nimrim have become desolations. Moreover, I will cause to cease in Moab, says the Lord, the one who ascends and offers in the high place, and the one who burns incense to his gods. Therefore, my heart moans and sighs for Moab like flutes, and my heart moans and sighs like flutes for the men of Kir Hareseth. Therefore, the remnant of the abundant riches they gained has perished. For every head is shaven bald and every beard cut off. Upon all the hands are cuts, slashes, and upon the loins is sackcloth, all to express mourning. On all the housetops of Moab and in its streets, there is lamentation everywhere. For I have broken Moab like a vessel in which there is no pleasure, says the Lord. How it is broken down, how they wail, how Moab has turned his back in shame. So Moab has become an object of derision and a horrifying terror to all who are round about him. For thus says the Lord, behold, he, Babylon, shall fly swiftly like an eagle, and shall spread out his wings against Moab. Kerioth and the city shall be taken, and the stronghold seized, and the hearts of the mighty warriors of Moab in that day shall be as the heart of a woman in her pangs in childbirth. And Moab shall be destroyed from being a nation, because he has magnified himself against the Lord. Terror and pit and snare are before you, O inhabitant of Moab, says the Lord. He who flees from the terror will fall into the pit, and he who gets up out of the pit will be taken and caught in the trap or snare, for I will bring upon it, even upon Moab, the year of their visitation, their inspection and infliction of punishment, says the Lord. In the shadow of Heshbon, the fugitives stand powerless, stopped in their tracks, helpless and without strength. For a fire has gone forth from Heshbon, a flame from the midst of Sihon. It has destroyed the corner of Moab and the crowns of the heads of the ones in tumult, the proud Moabites. Woe to you, O Moab! The people of the god Chemosh are undone, for your sons are taken away captive, and your daughters into captivity. Yet will I reverse the captivity and restore the fortunes of Moab in the latter days, says the Lord. Thus far is the judgment on Moab. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's scripture reading, we heard three chapters, and they were all prophecies that were made against nations that had been enemies to God's people. In chapter 46, we heard the prophetic declaration of God destroying and defeating the Egyptian army. In chapter 47, it was a declaration about God bringing ruin to the Philistines. And then finally, in chapter 48, it was a very long declaration about impending doom against the nation of Moab. So those three chapters were essentially God speaking through the prophet Jeremiah that he had seen their wickedness. He had seen that they never trusted God, but only trusted in their false idols and in themselves, and had pride over their own ability to destroy others, and that God was going to give them a punishment or a judgment for what they had done. But there's one specific verse that I want to bring to your attention out of all of that which we heard read today. And this comes to us from Jeremiah 48, the 7th verse. And here the Lord is speaking, and he's speaking to Moab, but it applies really to anybody in the earth who doesn't trust God, but instead trusts in themselves, in their own abilities, in their own works, in their own idols that they've created, whether it be money, celebrity, their own strengths or abilities, or whatever it may be, that the end result of that will be destruction for that person. Listen to this verse, and then we'll make a few comments about it and how it applies in our lives. It says here in Jeremiah 48:7, "For because you have trusted in your works, your bungling idol images, and in your treasures instead of in God, you shall also be taken. And Chemosh, your God, shall go into captivity, his priests and his princes together." Well, Chemosh was the Moabite god or false idol that they worshipped. And you may have heard me mention that this was an image or an idol that was often heated up with fire, and then people would bring their newborn children and sacrifice them to death. They would basically be burned in the fire to this wicked image of this false god called Chemosh. But it's the first line, really, or sentence of this verse that I want you to consider. It says, "For because you have trusted in your works," and the Amplified adds, "your bungling idol images, and in your treasures instead of in God, you shall also be taken." And that's a reference to taken in captivity or taken in the destruction that was coming on the nation. Essentially, God was saying here, because you've trusted in your own abilities, the people would create these false images that they bowed down to. They'd carve them out of wood and then cover them with silver or gold and then bow down to them. So they were essentially the work of their own hands. And today in our modern culture, we'd say, well, that's ridiculous. We would never do such a thing. But the reality is, in our culture, many people are doing exactly that, or you could say a sophisticated version of that exact thing. What they have made with their own hands, whether it be their self-made man, their business they created or started, whether it be the career that they have successfully climbed the corporate ladder in, the work of their own hands has become what they trust in. And if there's any threat to that thing which they trust in, whether it's their paycheck or their retirement plan or their stock portfolio or their bank account, whatever it may be, anytime you place your trust in anything that is not the Lord, you put yourself in really mortal danger. It says here, because you've trusted in your works and in your treasures. And that's a distinct reference to financial treasures. At that time, it would have been gold and silver or other things that had great value. instead of in God, you shall also be taken. This is a subject or a theme that we see repeated throughout the Bible. There are so many references about the fact that if a person trusts in God, they will be safe. But if they trust in anything else, they'll end up being destroyed. Earlier in the book of Jeremiah, you'll remember that in that 17th chapter, we read the verses 5 through 8 that laid this very same theme out. It said, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord." And then in the next verse it says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord." Those are the two options. Either you are trusting in God or you're trusting in other things, whether it be your own ability to make money or your own ability to design your future or to build a business or to do anything. Trust that's misplaced and that is placed in anything besides the Lord Himself places you in a situation where you will be shaken. At the very least, you will be shaken. And in this scripture, it says you'll go and end up in captivity. And it's really the truth that the Lord gives to us here in this verse, laid out so very plainly. Why is it that people don't trust in God, but find it easy to trust in other things like financial security or like the job or like a person that they're putting their trust in? But it's harder for them to simply rely on the Lord. Well, in the case of the Moabites, I would say their lack of faith, their lack of trust in God, or their unbelief in the Lord had to do with their ignorance of God. They didn't know God. They didn't know His goodness. They didn't know His innate trustworthiness. They didn't have that revelation about God. And it's the same for us today. Why is it that people don't trust God? I would say the number one reason is fear. They're afraid to trust God, afraid that He won't come through to protect, preserve, or provide. And that may be something you struggle with. The reason people put their trust in their job or their paycheck is because they have a hard time trusting that God will provide if they don't have that security, and it's a false security, but in their own minds, that security to hold on to. But it's a false thing. Whatever is man-made will eventually fail. The stock market has failed repeatedly. Banks have failed. Companies have closed down who look like they would last forever, at least in a human being's perspective. People have failed, other people, even people who look like they were so steady and strong, and yet human beings always fail one another. So we have this word here in Jeremiah of warning, really, for us, even in our modern generation. We don't want to be in the place of a person to whom God could say, because you've trusted in your works and in your treasures instead of in God, you shall also be taken captive or be destroyed. That would be a sad day for those of us who call ourselves Christians. But let me return to the reasons why people struggle in trusting God. That first reason was fear, afraid to trust God, afraid He won't come through to provide, protect, or preserve. The second reason really is basically unbelief. They don't believe that God is good, or they don't believe that He loves them personally and cares for them personally and is concerned about them personally. Maybe a person is convinced in a general sort of way that God loves people, but they don't have the revelation about God loving them personally. And our God is a personal God. He isn't the God that just loves everyone generally. He loves every person individually, specifically. He knows your life. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows how many days, hours, minutes, and seconds you have breathed. God knows you intimately, and He wants you to know Him intimately so that you can trust Him completely. intimate knowledge of God, knowing His character, His love for you, His care for your every waking moment, is something God wants you to understand in the very depths of your being. Most people struggle with trusting God because they don't have that innate belief that He loves and cares for them personally and really does care about the details of your life. He does. God wants you to be convinced of His innate goodness and His innate trustworthiness and His love for you. Does the Lord care about your work? He most assuredly does. Does God care that you are struggling to make your house payment or pay your rent? He most assuredly does. But He wants to know that you know that He cares. He wants to know that you trust that He is good and that He will come through and that He will provide and that He will preserve and that He will intervene on your behalf. How can you come to a place where you can stand firmly in trusting God for your personal life? The very first and most important thing is to come to know His character. And you can do that by listening and listening and reading the Word of God, because it reveals God's character. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17 tells us. So listening, as you are now with my Everyday Bible, will help increase your faith, because you begin to pour into your spirit the truth of who God is and what God is like and how He loves you so dearly and how He's so concerned for you personally. So you need to increase this faith by increasing your Word of God intake, so to speak. Increase your hearing level. Increase your intake level of the Word of God. And then your faith level really will rise. And then after hearing the Word, doing the Word must follow that. James chapter 1, verses 18 to 25 tell us that we need to be doers of the Word and hearers as well. And then the last thing, and this will really, really help you if you are struggling to trust the Lord, you need to eliminate hearing any unscriptural or unbiblical counsel, advice, or input. You know, people who listen to worldly people who don't have God as their foundation of their life, and they give out advice freely on the internet, on the radio, on the television, but it's not based in the truth of the Word of God. When you listen to that kind of input, it can put a spirit of fear on you. It can put a spirit of unbelief that God will come through. It can plant a seed that you better take matters into your own hands and not think about trusting God. You better do something. And that spirit behind that is a spirit of fear and unbelief. You don't want that seed sown in your spirit, because it will make it very difficult for you to stand firmly and wait upon God to bring forth His help and His deliverance in a time when it looks like there's trouble, whether it be financial or other. God wants you to have a firm faith and an unshakable confidence in God, His Word, and His character. That's how I like to define faith: unshakable confidence in God's Word, God's character. That is what God wants you to have. But to really be able to develop that, you have to eliminate any unscriptural counsel, any advice or input that is filled with unbelief or doubt. And if you listen to radio, television, and other types of input or media where you are getting counsel from people who do not have God as their foundation and the Word of God as their foundation, you're going to take in a spirit that is anti the Word of God and anti Christ and full of fear. Because the truth is, there's fear on every side right now in the world. And it will be very difficult for you to trust the Lord and to stand firm if you are giving your ears or your eyes, just opening your spirit to hear things that don't agree with God's word. God does care for you. God does know the details. God knows when you need to pay that bill and you don't have the money. God knows when your business is down that you need help and you need increase. And God wants to bring those things to pass. But I tell you, He looks to see who trusts in Him. God's word is full of promises of blessing to those who trust in, rely on, and hope in the Lord. Psalm 34 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Psalm 84 says, O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in Thee. That is the truth for your life. God wants you to have unshakable confidence in His goodness, in His desire to provide for you, and in His plan to protect you. But you need to have that unshakable confidence that God is good, God is love, and God cares specifically for you. Trust first, and then God will answer. God always responds to a heart of faith. Don't be like the Moabites that are described here in Jeremiah 48, verse 7, because they trusted in their works and in their treasures instead of God. They were taken into captivity and destroyed. Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. That's what we're told in Psalm 37, 3. God's faithfulness equals God's supply. And if you can trust in His faithfulness, you will find His supply to be abundant. Faithfulness is the very character of God, and He is always faithful to provide to the one who trusts in Him. And then last of all, let me encourage you to rely on Jesus to perfect your faith. Hebrews 12:2 tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And then in Philippians 1, we're told, He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. The Lord Himself will assist you in building your faith if you will look to Him. Tell Jesus today, I've been struggling with trusting You for finances or for a new job or for my business to increase or for help in my family, whatever your situation may be. But tell Him, Lord, I do trust You, that You are the author, You started this, and the finisher of my faith. And I look to You to increase my faith. I want to be a person that walks by faith. I'm Your workmanship. Do a work in me, Lord, so I can have that unshakable confidence in You, in Your word, and in Your character. It's the desire of my heart. I choose today, put my trust in You completely for the situations that are facing me. And I refuse to trust in anything outside of You. God bless you and give you a victorious and faith-filled week.